Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning. I don't think we need a sermon after that, right? We can go home. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you a little bit over the next few weeks about some of these habits that we've been talking about, some disciplines that help us guard our hearts, habits that help us embody our identity in Christ, and how if we're going to be spiritually healthy, we have to instill some of these habits in our lives. And so our baseline of the series that we've been talking through, this verse that we're basing this series on is Proverbs 4:23, and it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So back in week one, Brandon talked about how a gospel focus helps us determine our habits and our disciplines. And then in week two, we talked about sin and how that makes it difficult for us to have a healthy heart and to establish these practices. And last week, we talked about how our spiritual practices and our spiritual habits, they come out of who we are in Christ. And this is a really important thing for us to understand. What we do flows out of who we are. And when we reverse this, when we get this wrong, we get into some real trouble, some pretty serious trouble. The simple truth is that our commitments that we make come from who we are. And so if you were here last week, we were challenged at the end of the message with a series of questions asking us about what we value. And if you weren't here last week, I really want to challenge you to go back and listen to that sermon. And one of those questions that I've really been wrestling the most with this week, as I kind of put together this message, was, what do I value the most? I don't know if you've had that experience this week, but I've been wrestling with that question. What do I value the most? Because what we spend time on, that's what we value. And some of you may not like to hear me say this, but our calendars and our reminders and the things that we put in our phones, those are a reflection of the things that we value. And so as I'm kind of wrestling with this question this week, another one I had kind of came to my mind. And if someone followed me around for a week, right, would they be able to tell that I prioritize Christ, that my priority is in Jesus and that relationship that I have with him, just based on what I value? I think that's a good question. I think it's a good question we need to ask ourselves. A minute ago, I said that the commitments that we make come from who we are, but there's a second piece to this. Our commitments are also formative, right? They shape us into who we're becoming. The habits and practices that we commit to shape us into who we become. And so last week, Brandon used the example of his wedding ring and his marriage to describe this. Right, if he only checked in on Crystal once a week or on her birthday, and he only checked in on her because he felt like he had to, right, that's not much of a relationship. And so in the same way, we have a father who loves us and cares for us and wants to be with us and wants to spend time with us. And if and when we do spend time with him, that not only comes from the outflow of who we are, but it's also formative. It also shapes us. The more we spend time with God, the more we get to know God and get to know his ways, and the more we love him and the more we're shaped by his character. This isn't easy. I get that. It's not easy, right? Our lives matter. And it's not as if we can just kind of chunk them into sections and where we say, okay, this is the spiritual part of my life and everything else I'm going to ignore, right? We have responsibilities and we have obligations and we have things we have to meet, but I don't want to turn this into a discussion where it feels like spiritual habits are an obligation for us. Right? If we do that, then we're missing the point. Our relationship with God was meant to be more than just transactional. Right? The big churchy word for this that we're talking about is sanctification. Right? When Jesus died for us, he didn't just say, okay, well, I'm glad I paid for that. That's it. Go on your way. I'll see you around. right? No, we're formed for God's family. Jesus paid our debt so that we could be adopted as his sons and daughters. And that means God's our father. So today we're talking about one of the ways that we can connect with God, one of these habits or spiritual disciplines that we can use to grow our relationship with God. And that's spending time with him in solitude. How many of you like to cook? A few of you. Okay. One of the things that Mariah and I have started doing recently is cooking together on the weekends so that we're kind of prepped for the week, right? We're prepared. And that way we have food available when we're busy. Now, I'm not Gordon Ramsay. Okay, I'm far from it. But I'm getting pretty good at cooking. I'm finding it a little bit fun. Now, let's say you come over to my house after church, and whatever food you want, I cook for you, and it's the best food you've ever had. Like, just awesome. Like, you can't get any better than that. And so you eat seconds, and you eat thirds, and you're just so full because it tastes so good, and you just go home full. Sounds pretty good, right? Yeah? Okay? Yeah? And so you decide, you make this decision that the only time you're going to eat is on Sunday afternoons because it just tastes so good, and you can't get any better than that. And so Monday evening rolls around, and you start to get hungry. And by Thursday morning, man, you're just famished. You're running on empty, and you're just saying, I just can't wait till Sunday afternoon so I can eat again. It's a little crazy to live that way, right? No one lives that way. So the solution is for you to learn the habit of cooking so you can feed yourself. And so a lot of times what we do is we treat our spiritual lives like this. We come in here on Sunday morning because we're so spiritually famished by our weeks, what our weeks have done to us. And we come here on Sunday morning and we think that that's the only time that we can cultivate our relationship with God, when all we have to do is learn to develop this habit of being with him on a regular basis and spending time with him. Luke 5:16 in the NIV tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In the same way that Jesus did, we've got to develop this habit of solitude, of getting alone with God. How many of you are introverts? If you're an introvert, would you raise your hand if you're kind of an introvert? Okay, your introverts are kind of like, I don't really want to raise my hand, right? I don't want to do that, yeah? Okay. Who are the extroverts? Okay, you guys are standing on your chairs, basically. You know, if it wasn't church, yeah, there we go. If it wasn't church, we'd be having a party over in their corner, right? Yeah, they'd be going crazy. The thing about introverts and extroverts is it's not that introverts are bad with people and extroverts are good with people, right? That's a misconception I've always had about that. It's that introverts tend to be drained by people and extroverts tend to be energized by people. I tend to be introverted. It doesn't mean I'm bad with people. I don't know, maybe you could tell me otherwise. But it just means if I'm going to go hang out with somebody, or we're going to have people over my house, I have to mentally prepare for that. I know that sounds kind of weird. It sounds kind of nerdy, but I have to prepare for that. Like, mentally I have to get in the right place. I have to run through my head what we're going to talk about. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm not alone. I appreciate it. We're better together. And so when it's done, I have to, you know, have my time alone. I have to re-energize by myself. I'm exhausted. And again, I know to some of you that sounds weird. You're extroverted people over there, you're like, get over it, man. Stop whining. I get it. If you're an extrovert, you're like, yeah, people. Yeah, get me around people. I'm energized. I love being around others. So when you hear us saying that Jesus frequently practiced the habit of solitude, us introverts, we're saying, awesome. And the extroverts are already worried about being alone and bored. But we've got to understand that not one spiritual discipline is more important than the other. Some of the things that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, they are all important together. As a Christian, we've got to practice all of these things, not just one at a time, and not just one that's more important than the other. It's important for our overall spiritual health to get into the practice of these things. And so what I want to do is kind of take a look at the picture that Jesus painted in Scripture about what seeking God through solitude looks like. Right? The Bible gives us a picture of Jesus who's consistently trying to get away from the crowds. He's trying to connect with the Father. He's trying to reconnect with the Father. Now, he could have been doing a number of different things, a number of good things, right? There's always, you know, there's always people that can be healed. There's always sermons that can be preached. He could be casting out demons, whatever. But we see Jesus trying to get away. And I think it's important to note that if Jesus needed that time to get away, then we needed to. If Jesus needed time to reconnect and refocus on God, then we need that too. So let's take a look at some of the ways that Jesus did this. We already looked at Luke 5:16 in the NIV. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Matthew 14:23. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. The background of this is Jesus had just heard about John the Baptist and his execution, his cousin. You remember, he was beheaded by Herod. And this is right before Jesus has to go to feed the 5,000. So he's grieving, and at the same time, he's preparing for what he has to do. Mark 6:31 in the New Living Translation says, "Then Jesus said, 'Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while.' He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat." They had a long day of work. So Jesus says, how do we rest from that? How do we restore from that? How do we re-energize from that? We go and get alone with God. Luke 4:42. "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place." So Jesus starts his day with the Father. He begins his day meeting with God. Luke 6:12. "In these days, he went out to the mountain and prayed. And all night he continued in prayer to God." In this passage, Jesus is going right after this passage, he goes to appoint the 12 disciples. So he has to make a major decision about what he's going to do. He's seeking God's will before choosing the 12 disciples. Now, there are tons of other times in the Gospels where we find Jesus seeking solitude to reconnect with the Father. But the cool thing is, it's not just Jesus that does this. Right? In Exodus 19 and 20, Moses is alone with God on Mount Sinai while he's getting the law. Right? He's receiving God's word. He's studying it, the Ten Commandments. Isaiah, in Isaiah 30, specifically in verse 15, Isaiah was sustained by God through solitude with him. David tells us in Psalm 62 that in solitude, God removes his fears and gives him encouragement to continue on. And then Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1 that he spent 3 years in solitude to figure out whether or not he was actually called to ministry and to prepare for what that was like and what he would face. So if Jesus makes time for solitude in the midst of everything else good that he could have been doing, and these other people in the Bible made it a priority, maybe God's trying to tell us something here. It's an important habit to get ourselves in. This habit of meeting with God, just getting one-on-one with him as a regular practice. Can I just say that it's okay to turn our phones off? There's a power button on them. I don't know if you know that or not. Right? Yeah. It's not wrong to utilize that sometimes. It's okay. It's all right. Now, I do want to clarify something here. In solitude as a habit, we're getting alone with God, but there's a big difference between solitude and isolation. And Gary talked a little bit about it before the pastoral prayer. But this is a big deal, especially as we've gone through COVID and 2020 and the emotions that we felt because of that. The isolation that we felt through that. Right? In solitude, what we're doing is we're kind of hitting pause from our relationships and just taking a break from them. And it could be a really short break. It doesn't have to be, you know, days at a time. Maybe we're just talking 15 minutes. But solitude is running to God. Isolation is running away from our problems. Solitude is running to God. Isolation is running away from our problems. And we need to get this, right? We have problems, and we're always going to have problems. Life has problems. Problems are unavoidable. But is our intent to go meet with God in the midst of those problems? Or is it to try to use this to run away from them? I think we need to be really honest when we answer that question. And if we're practicing the habit of solitude with right motives. We understand that if we're going to have any success in life with our problems and deal with all life's issues and all of its issues, we have to get with God. But what's funny is it's not just about dealing with our own issues and our own problems either. Right? This is one of those upside-down ways that God works, but the practice of and habit of solitude and regularly meeting with God alone actually helps our relationships. I don't know if you've noticed this, if you've had a chance to practice this, but as strange as it may sound, if you want better relationships with others, then you need to get with God alone in solitude, and you need to make that a priority. Why? Because the people around you get the best version of you when you spend regular time alone with God. They get your scraps and your leftovers if you're always running on empty. So we have to make spending time with God a priority. Here's the bottom line. You can say anything is important to you. You can say your job is important to you, your family is important to you. You can even say God is important to you. But if you show me your calendar, I'll show you what's really important to you. So not only do we have to make solitude with God a priority, but we have to take the time regularly. You notice I didn't say make time, right? We have to take the time. We can't make time, right? It doesn't matter how intelligent you are or how strong you are. You can't make a day have more than 24 hours. So that might mean saying no to some things. That might mean saying no to some good things. It might mean some sacrifice. Now, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to turn this into a guilt trip where you feel like you have to commit 4 hours of your day to this, right? What if you took 5 minutes? What if you just took 5 minutes a day? What if you start with that? What if you woke up 5 minutes earlier or you went to bed 5 minutes later? What if you turn off that podcast on the way to work in the morning? And used your drive, the time in your car, in solitude with God. So what would it look like for you in your life to just focus on that term regularly? Take the time regularly. I think whether we've been around church a while or if we're new to church, I think we struggle with this concept of getting alone with God in solitude and quiet time. Not because we don't want to make it regular, not because we don't think that it's important to us, but I think we just struggle with the practicality of it, right? We know how it's important, but we don't make it a regular habit because we don't know what to do during that time, and we feel like it has to be this formal thing. So before we close out this morning, before we end together, our time together in this discussion, I want to talk about some really practical things that we can do in solitude with God. What are some things that we can do during this time? First, worship through singing. Right, some of you in here, when you belt it out on Sunday mornings, I can hear you. That's awesome. You're making the joyful noise, and that's great. Some of us, when we sing, we're kind of self-conscious about it because we don't want to sing loud, and we're afraid of what that might sound like, and we're afraid of who's sitting next to us. I might suggest that in your time of solitude, when you get alone with God, that you belt it out. What if you could sing and know that only He's listening? That's something you can do. Prayer. Prayer is another thing that you can do during your time alone with God. We've spent a lot of time talking about prayer and different types of prayers, and practicing prayer together and practicing prayer alone. There are a lot of ways to pray. But some of us struggle with this one because we feel like there's this formality when we pray that we have to follow when we pray to God. Like in my life, I used to feel really guilty at night when I'd go pray before I went to bed and I'd fall asleep mid-prayer. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, oh, I didn't hang up. I didn't say the magic words. I didn't say in Jesus' name, amen. God must not like my prayer. The bottom line is with prayer is that we're talking to God like He's our Father. Because He is. Right? Remember the Lord's Prayer. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray. How did He start? Our Father. We don't have to talk to God in the King James version of prayer. Right? There's no beseeching, right? Did you have a good day? Go to the Father. Talk to him about it. Did you have a bad day? Go to the Father. Talk to him about it. You're just hanging out and having a conversation with your dad. That's what this is like. Another thing we can do is study. We can read and study God's word. You don't have to raise your hands on this, but how many of you have tried to read the Bible with the TV on? Or maybe with your cell phone on next to you? Okay, I know I'm picking on cell phones a little bit, but that gets a lot of our attention. Especially when we're trying to read the word, right? It's difficult, isn't it? Right? Every time we get that notification ping or a text pops up or we get a call or something, it's distraction. I'll say it again. It's okay to turn that thing off every once in a while. There's so many more things that we can do. But one last thing I want to talk about today is journaling. Right? Sometimes prayer can be more real to us if we write them down. I don't know if you're a visual learner like that. You need to see things and write them down. And maybe that's how you think. That's how I think, actually. Maybe you're the kind of person that has to get your thoughts down on paper or else you'll get distracted. That's what I'm like. I have to get my thoughts written down or else I lose them. One of the cool things about journaling is that you can actually look back on some of the things that you've written down and you can see how God has been faithful to you. And then that opens up your prayer life all the more, right? You've looked at some of the stuff that you've journaled about in the past, and then you can praise God for that stuff today. And maybe it wasn't in the exact ways that we expected, but it helps you praise him all the more. Now, Brandon, Gary, and I, our hope and our prayer for you as we continue through this journey of spiritual disciplines and spiritual habits is that you would really begin to put these things into practice. And if you're already doing them, that you would stay the course. And if there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. Whether that means talking to you more about what we talked about this morning or getting you a Bible or anything like that, we'll do whatever it takes to help you on this journey. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning and thank you for the people that are here. God, I ask that you would touch their hearts in the same way that you have challenged me this week. Father, I ask that we would make solitude with you a priority, that we would seek to spend time with you because we know that our energy, our life, and all good things come from you, and we can't care about those that we love when we're running on empty. God, thank you for your grace and your love and your gospel. Thank you that your love has nothing to do with how much money we make or what kind of car we drive, but has to do with Jesus and him alone. We praise you for that. It's in his name we pray. Amen.